Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. The title of this message is Walking with God in the Coming Year. Let us read verses 1 through 15, and you'll notice in this section, he will mention the word walk three times. This is the last three of seven times he mentions it in this particular book. Let us hear God's word. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. In other words, they will not be going to heaven. Let no one deceive you with these empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Some translations have this, walk carefully. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this eternal word of Christ. We know that this is the sword of the Spirit. We pray that you would use it in our hearts to reveal our sins, Lord, to prick our consciences, Lord, to point us to Christ and our Savior, and Lord, point us to walking with him. And we ask you this, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So as I said, the title of this message is Walking with God in the Coming Year. We've already read about what the confession says about the Last Judgment. There will be a last day, just as we have a last Sunday of this year. I remember one last Sunday of one of previous years, I preached on the verse in Hebrews 9:27 that says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then comes the judgment. You know that we need to be thinking, as a year closes, there will be a close of life. John Owen said that every day you need to think about your conversion and kind of relive it. We also need to think about there is a judgment coming, and I must be living for seeing Jesus and that judgment, not to say, oh no, Jesus is coming, I must flee my sins, but oh yes, Jesus is coming, why should I continue in my sin? And so we want to finish this year strong. It tells us over in Corinthians that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, and certainly it's faith that's led us to the God of love. And that, thank the Lord, we're saved by faith and not by love, because how are we going to produce that? But faith is something outside of us. Faith is looking to Christ, and having come to Christ, then we are commanded to walk in love. We're going to be focusing particularly on verses 2 and 3, but in our introduction, I do want to look at these other four indications or four mentions of the word walk, just to get the context of our verses we'll be looking at, 2 and 3 particularly, or 1, 2, and 3. So back there in Ephesians 2:1 and 3, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, that's how we walked, conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We look like all those going to hell because we're walking just like them in sin and lust. Praise God, it tells us later then, but God, who is rich in mercy and tells us of how he quickened us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Then we come to verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This should lead us to great humility, because if we ever did anything good, our left hand's not supposed to know what our right hand did. Well, that was God. That was God who before the foundation of the world said, I'm going to make this rogue come to me first of all and save him. Then I'm going to make this guy who could be a rogue do something good. And now our dear brother Barnabas, he was called a good man. And Joseph, the guardian father of Jesus, was a righteous man. And God leads us to walk in good works. This is what we are, a new heart desiring to walk in it, but we must be humble. God ordained this before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. And then number 3 would be in chapter 4 when it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Doesn't mean you're going to walk in such a way that you become worthy before God and he saves you. It means walk with respect to what you are called, to honor him, glorify him, magnify him. Who are you? You are a child of God. And in the very context, he uses this to teach us of the unity that we need to maintain in the bond of peace. You are children of God. Walk together as one body in Christ. Walk as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're to walk worthy of the calling. And then in chapter 4, verse 17, fourth, this verse says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So again, another negative. We're not to walk in the lusts of our past life. We're not to walk like the Gentiles. We're around Gentiles. All of us are Gentiles here, probably. But we're not to walk in the vanity, the foolishness of their mind and their ways of the world. And then just to remind us again, 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We'll be preaching upon this. And then 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for walking in love, we'll be walking in light as well. And then verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk carefully. Walk remembering the enemy is trying to destroy you, and very soon in this very book, he'll tell us to put on the whole armor of God. We need to walk carefully, because if we don't, we can step into sin very quickly. So we just overviewed these 7 usages of the word walk in the book of Ephesians. Now we're going to center on the command in Ephesians 5:2 in its local context. Let's read those verses again, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So as we consider this command, walking with the Lord in the next year, we're going to consider it under these 3 heads. First of all, walking like God. Secondly, walking with God in love for him. And then thirdly, walking in remembrance of God's work for us in Christ. So that's walking like God, walking with God, and walking in remembrance of God's work for us in Christ. So first of all, walking like God. And verse 1 says of this book, in this chapter 5, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be like God. And the word therefore is there for a reason. He's talking about all that went before. All these blessings we have in Christ in chapter 1. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And he predestined us to be for the adoption of sons so we'd be Jesus Christ's children. He's even seated us in the heavenly places in Christ and sealed us by his Holy Spirit so that we will always be in him. And you have all these things and you have all of the oneness of Jew and Gentile. It's now one church in Christ that we are seek to maintain that unity. And so later, then he says, therefore, with all these blessings and all these commandments, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So this means walking like the Lord Jesus Christ walked. 1 John 2:6 says this, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now you may have read Pilgrim's Progress. It's actually two books. Usually we read the first one about Christian, and that may be the only thing in the book you have called Pilgrim's Progress, but there's a second book about his wife, and she's converted, and her name is Christiana, and it's more about the church following after. And in that book, there is an individual who said that this was his purpose, that when he saw one of the steps of Jesus, just like when you folks in Missouri know this, there's snow out there, you walk in the snow, you make tracks. You can go back and walk in those same tracks. Maybe your children have followed after you and walked in the tracks. And he said he every time he saw a step of Jesus, he tried to step on that place. And this is what we do. We look at the life of Christ and a life of love, life of forgiveness, life of purity, a life of holiness and commandments that are glorious, all the blessedness we have in him. We just study Christ. It's always good. We're reading through all of the New Testament and Old Testament this year, but it's even good to just keep circling around in the Gospels. And you finish John, start over again in Matthew, to always be considering the good and glorious life of Christ and the words of Christ. Everything else is built upon that. So we are to walk like God. We're to walk with Christ. So how did he walk? Well, it tells us in John 14 this, in verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. The Father had commanded him to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and he did that perfectly. Father commanded him, love your neighbors yourself, and he did that perfectly. You say, what about all the rebukes he gave the Pharisees? That's not because he hated them. It's because they needed to repent. And we know some of them did. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, eventually Saul, who became Paul. Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Also translated, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's encouraging, because we think of all the times we haven't kept his commandments. The enemy will be glad to remind us. But one of his commandments is that if we sin, we are to confess our sins. One of his commandments is that we are to repent of our sins. And by grace, we repent. The Spirit shows us a sin, we want to repent immediately. Not to play with it, not to prolong it, not to do it again. And run from it, and forsake it, as the scripture says. So, how are we to walk as imitators of God, walking in the commandments of the Lord, by grace, turning to him for forgiveness and cleansing? It says amazing things about this Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. If we're going to walk like Christ, we put away lying. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. we have people say unkind things to us. Or maybe they don't say anything at all. We don't treat them the way they've treated us. Paul said, being cursed, we bless. And we find that way to give them a cup of cold water when they are throwing it on the ground, as it were. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And we trust the Lord. He tells us in Romans that we're not to give place to wrath, but give it to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And he tells us to overcome evil with good. It says, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We follow the good shepherd and the good shepherd's voice. And a stranger's voice, he says, we won't follow. So we're to walk like God, as imitators of God, as imitators of Christ. And this only through grace. It's marvelous grace. So we are to walk as imitators of God. Secondly, we are to walk with God in love for him. What does the scripture say in verse 2? And walk in love as Christ also loved us. So what should this look like? So we're going to consider our walking with him, and please forgive this. You're only supposed to have 3 points. I'm going to go for another good number, 7. I'm trying to be very clear, 1 through 7, and I'll give you the 7 very quickly at the end. So here are the 7 ways, because we're walking with God and we have a big book. So here we go. Number 1, if we are to walk in love, we have to walk in faith first. Trusting God. As we said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in faith in the Lord Jesus, who is 100% God and 100% man. And that it is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must remember. And without his work, we cannot be saved. We're not trying to earn a place in heaven. We have a place earned for us already in heaven by Christ. It's reserved, 1 Peter chapter 1. We ask the Lord to forgive all the preachers who said there'll be empty seats in heaven because you're not preaching the word. Every one of those seats will be filled, and the rocks will cry out for his praise if we are not there. Now, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of walking with him. You're walking by a lot of people who don't know Jesus. So we walk by faith, remembering the gospel, preaching it to ourselves daily. Secondly, if we are walking in love, we are seeking that Christ be our first love every day. One saint I was with recently said, yeah, we need to do that before we roll off the bed. Open our eyes, Lord, you must be my first love today. We remember what Jesus said to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, a church that had the book of Ephesians. It had Paul there for 3 years. It had Timothy for there, even possibly John and Peter. We have Revelation 2:1 that says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works. Now count these with me. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those that are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, second time he said that, and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. That's 8 different things. He's later going to tell them that they did not have the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which he also hates. That's 9. But what's this 10th thing he's going to say? Nevertheless, you've done all these things well. I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, that first love, that tender love you had for Christ, where you did everything for him from the first moment of the day to the last. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. He didn't say you'll be lost as an individual. He said, you will no longer be a church. And so this happens to churches. I know of a number of churches, they're gone. For whatever reason, some I think because they left their first love. Christ was not the essence of that church, the essence of each individual in that church. Thirdly, if we are walking in love to the Lord, we are keeping the commandments of God, as we have already read. Let's think about some of those commandments. In this very book, it tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her every day. You say, I do, and then every day you do that. And when you don't, and you fail, and you take her for granted, you're not dying for her. We've got to remind ourselves of this every day. I'm to die for this woman. Doesn't mean you're not the head. The head of the church died for the church. And we, as the head of our homes, die for our wives, give ourselves up for her. Wives are to submit themselves to their husband in all good things, a very difficult thing to do. The husbands are submitting to a perfect Savior. The wives are submitting to an imperfect leader. If he tells you to sin, you can't do that. But if he's making a choice that's neither sin nor not, live here or there, you might ask questions about it, but if he makes a choice, you have to submit. That's what submission is. Anybody can submit to an agreement. When we submit to something we're not agreeing to particularly, maybe something will turn out, we could say, we want to say, I told you so, but maybe as a loving wife, we'll just let the Lord say it. And then children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And children, the Bible speaks clearly to you that your parents are to be honored. They're not perfect parents. If you have a good parent, they'll actually repent when they do something wrong. They might even spank you, and it wasn't you, it was your brother did it, and they have to go back and ask you to forgive you, give them. But you honor them because you're your parents. And some have not had good parents. Some don't even know who their parents are. So whatever those parents might look like, they need to honor them and obey them. Some don't have good parents. They simply need to honor the fact that God brought me into the world by them. I can't go with their sins. I can't go with their direction, but I can show them a direction and honor them by showing kindness to them when they're not showing it to me. I can have a remembrance of them. Some parents are gone, and you remember what good they were able to do in your life. In this very chapter, chapter 6, we're to put on the whole armor of God. As I said in Sunday school today, it's a sad thing when you read that and you want to do that, you read chapter 6, and you don't do it until the next time you read chapter 6 in Ephesians. That every day, we must put on the whole armor of God because the enemy's coming. He doesn't care. And he delights when you don't have the armor on because he can pierce through it. And you're not holding that shield of faith that says it'll quench every dart. Faith says, no, you're lying. No, you're wrong. The word of God says, I'm going to heaven. And God saves sinners like me. You might remember John Bunyan. John Bunyan was being accused of the devil of a certain sin. He said, yes, that and many others. And Jesus has paid for them all. So we also, in 2 Peter, it says, giving all diligence, you are to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What else do you want to do? Lord, help me do these things. Give me grace to add to my faith virtue. I know these things. I believe these things. Let me walk in purity before you. Lord, help me to add to my virtue knowledge, to learn more about you so that I might walk more in purity before you. Lord, give me self-control. I remember the first time I ever heard of that. As a child, I was scared to death. I didn't even know what that was. It never happened in my life. And as a Christian, it still concerns me because I don't control myself as I should. Lord, help me add that by your Spirit. To self-control, perseverance, help me to continue on even when I'm having so many difficulties and so many trials and so many sins. To perseverance, godliness, let me be like God. Walk, as we already said, in his image, in Christ. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Crowning all this with love. So if we're going to walk in love, we want to walk in His commandments. I heard of one saint that is up at 5 in the morning saying, "Why are you up so early?" He says, "I'm searching the scriptures for all the commandments God wants me to keep." Hope we're also searching for all the promises in the scripture. Let's go to number 4. If we are walking in love, we're turning away from every sin. Because when these commandments come, we find we sin breaking those commandments. If there's no commandment, there's no sin, but we have sinned breaking the commandment. In this very passage, it says in verse 3 and 4, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." For walking in love, we must be turning away from all sin. Number 5, if we're walking in love, we are walking in such a way that we are loving the Lord's church. We're bearing with one another's burdens. We're praying for one another. We are sacrificing for one another. Hope you came today because you love the church. You love the head of the church. You love the promise that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. You love taking the Lord's Supper, which is something you don't do at home. You do as a gathering, as the scripture indicates. And so, I always say, the most important thing you do every week is go to church. If you don't go to church, you've missed the most important thing you should have done that week. And as I always told my children, we did everything we did this week so that we could get to church. And so, are you making too much of this? Well, we can make the church more than Christ. That's an idol. But Christ is the head of the church, and how we treat His church is how we're treating Him. And how we're respecting it is how we're respecting Him. And I'm always thinking, what is God going to say? If I'm sick, what did He say that I missed? Lord, You had a word for me. And thank the Lord for our technology. But even the technology cannot give the promise that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in My name, I'm there in their midst. He's not said, "I'm going to be together with your iPhone." And so may the Lord help us to continue to gather together to love the Lord in walking together in love. Number 5, if we're walking in love with the Lord, we are walking in such a way that we're loving the Lord's church. That was 5. Number 6, if we're walking in love, we're walking in the light of His word. We've read that in verse 8. And let's read that again. He says, "For you were darkness, once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." How do we walk as children of light? So we're walking in the light of the word of God. We're not a light in and of ourselves. I mean, we are the light of the world, but why are we the light of the world? We have Christ within us, and we have His word spoken without us. We're walking in that word, and we're walking, speaking of that word. And so may we walk in love with the Lord, taking in His word this next year. You know, we can't read, we're not commanded to read this word at all times. You could actually sin because all you do is read the word of God. No. It was Matthew Henry who said, "Aren't you thankful the word is something you could hold in your hand and read in a year, but it's not so big we can't get through it, but it's short enough so that we can leave it and go on and obey what it has said throughout the day." And we'll always be thinking about it. We'll always be walking according to it, remembering it, meditating upon it, repenting by it. But we walk in His word. And then 7th and last, we want to walk with the Lord in love by prayer. And we're walking and praying. The commandment is pray without ceasing. You're walking into a room, "Lord, what I say, help it be an encouragement to those here. Lord, if I hear something ungodly, help me to respond to that in a godly way. Lord, I've got my work ahead of me today. Help me to perform this." Most of us aren't brain surgeons, but we're doing something and we need God to keep us from messing it up. Raising children. "Lord, how do I get through this day with a wayward child? Give me grace. Lord, help me to love my wife." All the commandments should be bathed in prayer and applying the promises to them. So what are those 7? First of all, we walk in faith. We walk with Christ being our first love. We walk seeking to keep his commandments, turning away from sins, number four. Number five, loving his church. Number six, walking by the word. Number seven, walking in prayer. So may the Lord help us to walk in love with him and for him, walking in Christ. And then third, finally, walking in remembrance of God's work for us in Christ. What does it say in verse 2? And walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We're always walking, remembering Jesus paid for this blessing today. Jesus paid for my sins. Over there in chapter 1, don't you love verse 3? Where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We already have everything we need in Christ right now. Why should we be covetous? Why would we be discontent? We need to remember what he's done for us, and he's paid for everything that pertains to life and godliness. When he said on the cross, it is finished. Everything that's necessary to get my people to heaven has been done. They don't need to accomplish a thing, though they will accomplish much in good works, but none of those good works to accomplish their heaven. I accomplished it. And we remember that. And we've been exhorted by many brothers to preach the gospel to yourself daily. If you haven't read the book, Discipline of Grace, it's a good book to get on your shelf. If you don't have one, we can find one for you. But in that book, in the first chapter, it's worth the book, he talks about a good day and a bad day. And that about 80% of Christians, when they're having a bad day, at the end of that day, if an opportunity arises to preach the gospel, they don't do it. Had a bad day. I'm not worthy to talk to them about Jesus. But those who understand, I guess the 20%, man, I've had a bad day, but this person needs Jesus. They're going to hell, and I have the gospel. I am justified in Christ. God is for me. He was commanding me to share the gospel to every creature, and you give it to them, though you had a bad day. And maybe they'll have a good eternity. And so, this is what we do. We remember Christ paying for all of our sins. Full atonement can it be, we sing. Every sin, Lord, I have ever committed in the past that I'm committing today, that I will commit, was laid upon Christ. And he was the sweet-smelling aroma to God. He was that sacrifice slaughtered in our place. By his stripes we are healed. His blood was shed all over the ground for us. It's that blood that pleads now for us in heaven. If Abel's blood pleads from the ground, and it does, Jesus pleads from the right hand of God. It is finished. He is justified. Who is going to condemn us? It's Christ who died. This doesn't make us happy about our sins. It makes us joyful that we have a Savior for those sins. It doesn't make us away to sin. It makes us away to turn from sin. Because why would we want to commit something that Jesus had to die for? We remember him. We walk with him, remembering his work for us. Brethren, I pray the Lord helps you to do this. The enemy doesn't want you to remember what Christ has done. He'll even say this, well, that's the cross. You've already thought about that. Aren't you getting kind of tired of thinking about the cross? I mean, can't you get bored with that? You know, woe unto us when we get tired of hearing about the cross. I heard of a kid one time, a gentleman now, he's a grown man, who didn't think he needed to come to church anymore because he heard all that. Wait a minute. This is the living word of God. We even sing a hymn that says, those that know it best sing, are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I need to hear again and again that Jesus is my Savior. From all the ways it's spoken of, go to Isaiah 53, read through that, and just look at how many ways he keeps talking about the cross over and over again. Let's turn there real quickly. We won't read the whole chapter. Let's just touch down on a few points. This prophecy given over 700 years before Christ came, back in chapter 52, verse 13, says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be extolled and exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The artists do not have it right." I've only seen one artist even come close. His name was Jack Chick. And the picture of Jesus had blood pouring down over his face. Because why? He had a crown of thorns beaten into his head. Not just a little blood on his hands. His form, it tells in the Psalms that the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. 39 stripes going to the bone. Many men didn't live through that beating. And he had that nailed up against a wooden cross. The pain, the suffering, the sorrow. His form was marred more than any man. Later on in chapter 53, verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken." You can continue on and see him talk about his death yet more. I've been with the Lord some 52 years now, I think it is. And I'm so thankful for the gospel. I want to hear it in every message. Now, the scripture says that let another man's praise you and not your own. And so I hope this man can endure my praise. Doesn't set a net for his feet. But I met a man years ago who preached the gospel organically. All the preachers I'd heard before that, they'd preach the message, and then the last 2 minutes, "Oh, by the way, Jesus died on a cross." This man had every topic, every point wrapped around Christ. I think I heard him first at a youth camp, and my son was there. Next time I heard him in Jackson. No, I heard him at this church when he had come to preach before he became our pastor in 1993. It's Fred Malone. And he teaches pastors to preach Christ from all the scriptures. And one thing Fred has done faithfully, and he told us when he came, he said, he told the pastor search committee, he says, "I'm not going to chase rabbits. I'm going to preach the gospel." And in his first preaching to us, the time he says, he went to the verse that said, Paul said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And he said, that's what he's going to do. He did that for 27 years as our pastor. He's our pastor emeritus. He's going to still do it. And this afternoon, I expect to hear about Jesus. And he's not going to tack it on. At the end. Brother Fred is my mentor. And I want to preach Jesus. And I want to do what he has said. I want to walk in remembrance of God's work for us in Christ. So these 3 points again. First of all, in the coming year, may we walk like God. Number two, may we walk with God in love for him. Number three, may we walk in remembrance of God's work for us in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We praise you. We're thankful that we adore you because you've quickened us. You've made us alive in Christ, by Christ, and through Christ. And Lord, we We're thankful that you've exalted him to be the judge. Lord, we might have thought you would be the judge, but you've committed all judgment to the Son, that all men may honor the Son as the Father should be honored. So, Lord, we're looking forward to your soon coming. We know the last chapter of the Bible says, Lord, come quickly. And you even say, Lord Jesus, that you're coming quickly. The world wants to say, oh, it's been 2,000 years. But Lord, we know 1,000 years is a day with you. Lord, it's just been a little time since the cross. So Lord, help us to honor you. This coming year is yours, Lord. The previous year is a year we repent of all of our sins. It's a year we want to turn away from all those sins we committed. We want to walk with you in holiness next year. And Lord, we know that Jesus is our perfect Savior. Help us to walk in patience, knowing that when we sin, we still have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, we pray for those here who have not yet come to Christ. Help them to come before it's everlastingly too late. Help them look upon their indifference as possibly a judgment, that they've not already come, and that judgment might lead to eternal death in Christ, without Christ. We pray, Father, that you would save them. Give them grace to call upon you and find that even little faith is something that you save by little faith. Father, we pray for those among us that are sick. Lord, you'd raise them up. We thank you, Father, for the great work you've done in our sister Barbara this year, our dear brother Willie Sager, that they are here, healthy, having gone through great trials of cancer, difficulties, and respiratory issues. We do ask you, Father, that you would help us to love you this year, Lord, as we go forth with you and for you. We ask you all this for the sake of Jesus and pray that you forgive us, Lord, of our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.